I saw someone on social media create Christmas tree snow globes, which I will send you the link if you haven't seen it. It looks amazing. So it's basically a piece of rosemary, which you turn upside down to look like a Christmas tree. You pop it in a glass with some water and freeze it. So it freezes in there. And then you add in like a gin and tonic or something, which is clear. And then with all the bubbles around the ice, it looks like a snow globe.
That's Jen Creevy, Director of Food and Drink at WGSN, with a lovely festive tip for your cocktail garnishes this season. Welcome to the Create Tomorrow podcast. Thank you for joining us. Now, whether you celebrate Christmas or not, the holiday season, which extends into Lunar New Year around the world, is always the best time for feasting with family and friends. So in this episode, we'll be tickling your taste buds as we discuss some winter and food drink trends that are likely to appear on your festive table this year. So joining me to discuss all things taste and flavour is our Director of Food and Drink, Jen Creevy, and Strategist on Food and Drink, Millie Diamond. Jen, we'll get into the trends for 2024, but I'd like to look back first at the trends that we forecasted for 2023. And let's talk about how exactly you create these trends each year.
We essentially forecast at the start of the year what your rising consumers, your future consumers will look like for 2 years ahead. So, and that informs all of our work. So we have these set of personas which present the greatest areas of opportunity for new product development 2 years ahead. So following that, we then produce a series of forecasts around food and drink. So everything from food, cuisine and flavour, ingredients, health and wellness, drinks, alcoholic drinks, etc., all with the rising needs and values of those personas taken into account. So we then apply it to each of the holidays and look at, you know, what was rising last year, what is rising, what our personas want, and what are the rising foods and trends and cuisines, ingredients that go into that, and then apply it to each of the holiday seasons.
And then there's also, of course, you're like scouring the globe when you're kind of out there, all the shows and expos and all of that, that you kind of get thrown into the festive mix, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're sort of looking at the future consumers and then, you know, how to target those future consumers, essentially, of course, we have the teams of analysts and strategists across the world all really keeping their ear to the ground and seeing what's rising in those areas. We also have a wealth of data, of course, that we pull on, and we overlay all of that with the insight from our team and, yes, apply it to each of the holidays.
Rewinding back then to 18 months ago, where are we with the flavours that we forecasted for this year, for 2023? My favourite, I have to say, is toasted marshmallow, which sounds delicious. Millie, how's this actually coming through?
Yeah, so toasted marshmallow is one that I love as well. And I'm seeing so many drinks with toasted marshmallow rims or garnishes or just as the flavour profile itself. So the Water Dog in the US has got a toasted marshmallow martini, and that's got chocolate liqueur, a marshmallow simple syrup, and then a very decadent textured rim that's made with crumbled graham crackers. So you're getting the full kind of s'mores experience.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
I think you could only have one.
Well, yeah, and it's probably like huge, right? American portions. What other flavours did you forecast then that are really coming through, Jen?
So we've got winter citrus as one of the flavours for this year, which everyone will know citrus is very nostalgic, very familiar. But our forecast talked about rising, you know, really taking this orange flavour further. So with different types of citrus fruits coming through like pomelo, clementine, kumquat and blood orange. So we are now seeing this coming out on various dishes and also drinks. So a lovely recipe I saw for a clementine gratin, which has got ground almonds, which looks so simple to do, but also delicious. And then a little bit more exciting, I saw in Singapore recently a bar called Nutmeg and Clove, which has got a golden charm highball, which has got a pomelo shrub in there, along with chamomile and allspice. So really taking that, you know, very familiar and nostalgic flavour a lot further and a lot more experimental.
And that's so seasonal. Yeah, thinking of those smells. And is there one more? There's one more, Millie, that I can seem to remember, which was an unusual sounding flavour.
It's the Sichuan peppercorn, which is my all-time favourite for sweet or savoury. And it has a kind of numbing effect with really citrusy, aromatic notes. And 50 Hertz Food has done a collaboration with Neo Coco Confections on a limited edition green Sichuan pepper toffee nib brittle. So you've got the buttery toffee and then the crunch of the brittle and then the tingly buzz from the Sichuan. It's just, that is right up my street. And they're also posting different recipe suggestions because they actually sell just the peppercorns themselves. So you could grind them up and sprinkle them on some plain crisps to make your own kind of Sichuan snack for Christmas.
It's interesting, all the three things you've mentioned, it seems like there's a real mixture of textures that people are really going for, like really getting a different combination of like crunchy things. And is that something that people are trying to pack into things at the moment?
It really is. Yeah, it's some textures that we've been talking about for some time. It's really getting that experience from food and drink. So it's not just the taste. It really is sort of tantalizing all the senses. So yeah, we're seeing lots of different sort of layers coming through in both foods, both snacks, meals, and also drinks.
So this time of year is always about tradition and people have their favourite things that they always do. But we've written quite a lot about climatarian diets on WGSN as a trend and a growing shift. And in terms of creating a better future for the climate, there's less meat and people are moving towards plant-based diets. So I wondered if in terms of traditions, things like the Christmas, the Thanksgiving dinner, are consumers really moving away from turkey and meat? Are you seeing a big shift here, Millie?
Yes, so we are seeing consumers becoming a great deal more conscious about what goes onto their plate, but they still want something that's special to celebrate with ultimately. So by leading with ingredients such as whole veggies as the specialty item, that will appeal to everyone, but make for a more inclusive meal. So for example, the butcher's wife in Singapore has a brown butter char-grilled cabbage as the centerpiece, and that's got a pomegranate and pine nut salsa and then a dragon fruit barbecue sauce. So it's really elevating the humble veg as the centerpiece on the table. But then for those that do want to go down the meat and fish route, you've got a lot more regenerative and sustainably reared meat, such as the Ethical Butcher in the UK with its pasture-raised turkey or a rib of beef that's been farmed with holistic planned grazing.
So as Millie says, we're really showcasing whole vegetables now, not just sort of mashing them up and packing them into one dish. So I think you can still have your nut roast, but it will be elevated, maybe even by some of the flavours that we've just been talking about. And we also shouldn't forget seafood and fish as well. So ocean regenerative farming is something that is growing that we've been talking about for a while. So people like pesky fish, they use sort of exclusively mature fish from abundant stocks. So creating a market really for underutilized species, things like gurnard, which is absolutely delicious. And I saw a lovely recipe from a New Zealand chef recently, which he created a gurnard carpaccio, and it was scattered with ginger and bright red chili, lemon zest and coriander. So looked very, very festive, but using an underutilized species there. So lots of interesting ideas if you do want to go down the climatarian route.
So it might be time to trial something else on the table this year.
Definitely.
Another thing I know we're talking about a lot is third culture cuisine. And I wonder how that's coming in. Is that sort of disrupting the traditional dishes and making things have a little twist?
It really is. Yeah. So as you say, we've been talking about third culture cuisine for a while, and we're really seeing that come through now for the festive season. So this is where a chef or a brand uses influences from their heritage, from their upbringing, but also where they've lived. So it could be influences from three or more cuisines. So really exciting. So in the US, where of course they have just had Thanksgiving, I saw this come into play really rising this year. So of course, they have the Thanksgiving turkey, but much like Christmas in other countries, a lot of the celebration is about the side dishes. And I saw some really lovely third culture influences there. So the green bean casserole, which is a very favourite side over there. I saw one chef create a Taiwanese Din Tai Fung version, which is like a fried rice. So where the green beans were flash fried, and they also had like a creamy miso mushroom sauce. So a nice, interesting take on that one. And another fun one I saw was sort of roasted Brussels sprouts with a gochujang brown butter. So just a really lovely way to inject new flavour in into traditional meals. So we'll definitely see more of those flavours and interesting flavours coming through.
I think any way to jazz up a Brussels sprout, I mean, it's the love or hate, isn't it? It's the Marmite of the vegetable world.
I love them.
I love them too.
Oh, good. Because I was wondering if it's like a bit of an age thing and it's like the kids maybe don't have the taste buds for the subtleties of Brussels sprouts. And is that why? And you grow to like them when you're older. And also they're lovely with chestnuts. That's how I like to jazz mine up.
I just think if they're overcooked and soggy, no one likes them.
It's
but
true.
If they're well cooked, it's like anything. If it's well cooked, you're probably going to like it.
I was reading the other day that the panettone in the UK has usurped the Christmas pudding. I have to say, in our house, nobody likes it except my mum. The Christmas pudding, that is. I don't know, which are you? Are you a panettone or a Christmas pudding?
We have panettone on Christmas morning, but then we don't ever bother with the Christmas pudding. And they are saying that Gen Z are going to make the Christmas pudding extinct.
Jen, what about you? You're Gen X like me. What's your thoughts?
I am, but I am not a dessert person at all. So I am neither, to be honest. And also, nobody likes Christmas pudding in our house. So it's been extinct here for some time. So I love all the new kind of desserts coming out, you know, all the sort of fabulous sensorial desserts. So I love those sorts of things. And I think that's definitely going to take over.
So we've also just had Hanukkah recently. Like, I think when this goes out, we're recording as it starts. And when we go live, when you're listening to this, people, it'll just have finished. And I just wondered again, were there any traditions there that are changing for the sort of things that people are eating?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're seeing, and that will only sort of continue to rise into next year, is a move towards more mindful frying. So with oil and fried foods being a big part of this holiday, we're seeing a shift to better for you options. So more healthy oils and things like fermented doughs, which are good for gut health too. So that's an interesting one around Hanukkah, but also third culture cuisine definitely comes into play for this holiday too. And I can see it already coming in stronger for Hanukkah. So just a lovely couple of examples that I've seen recently. There's a third culture Mexican Jewish pop-up in LA called Marley, which created a sufganiyot, which is a type of jelly donut, very popular during Hanukkah. And it was filled with a sort of pink guava jam and a mascarpone cream, which is a really nice take. Or I did see as well a Korean American food writer who created kimchi scallion latkes, so the potato pancakes or fritter type things, inspired by flavors of the Korean stir fry and also fried kimchi. So again, for that holiday as well, really interesting new fusions and flavors coming into those traditional snacks and meals.
Is it a bit like film and TV at the moment? Is the Korean influence really being felt in food and drink as well?
It's been felt for some time in terms of food and drink. Korean has been rising more and more, definitely, but also Southeast Asian as well. And what we're seeing is the rise of regional flavors. So we're not just saying it's particularly, say it's from Thailand. We're seeing different regions of Thailand being showcased now, and that's across the board. So particularly, of course, in the West, Southeast Asian in particular is rising now.
You're listening to the WGSN Create Tomorrow podcast. And in this episode, we're talking about winter food and drink trends that are likely to appear on your festive table this year. I'm Bethan Ryder, Editorial Director at WGSN. And my guests today are WGSN's Director of Food and Drink, Jen Creevy, and Food and Drink Strategist, Millie Diamond. Okay, it wouldn't be Christmas without chocolate from my perspective anyway. I don't know what it is. I don't want it in the summer, but you want it in the winter and you want a lot of it. Are there other sort of things, something big for chocolate this year that you're seeing? Millie, is there something new that I would want to know about and have on my table?
So we've seen a couple of lovely Yule logs in Asia for this festive season. One was a chocolate hojicha Yule log, so a Japanese green tea flavour, which speaks to our previously forecasted trend around less sweet and more savoury flavours coming into desserts. And another was a Kaya buttercream log, which is a kind of coconut jam rolled in a fluffy pandan sponge. They're super delicious.
I'm going to definitely try a Yule log this year because, again, like Christmas pudding, unfortunately, Christmas cake is also not very popular in my house. Although the decorating of it it's such a lovely thing to happen. So I'm thinking, okay, how can I do that? So I'm thinking maybe a Yule log, and then decorating the Yule log will be the new tradition. So I've been looking a little bit at sort of influences on Instagram. I follow a few people like Laura Jackson, for example. In fact, she was doing this amazing thing called Clementine Possets the other day, where you kind of scoop out the whole meat of the clementine, and then you create this delicious dessert that also just looks amazing. And there just seems to be, again, the 70s thing a little bit with this kind of like display going on. What do you call this, Jen? Have you got a name for it?
We talked about maximalist for some time in terms of sharing dishes. So you're absolutely right. So there's a mix of nostalgia coming in there, of course, but also people entertaining at home more, so not going out as much. So they really are looking to make an effort. And of course, people want to come together a lot more post-pandemic, but also want to come together during the holiday season. So we forecast the rise of maximalist dishes. So it's really taking something like a sandwich and creating an extra large version of it to be shared by everyone. So obviously it's fun. It looks great as part of the sort of decoration, but everyone can just dive in. I've seen a couple of really fun ones already for this year. So I saw a nice sort of huge cardamom bun, which everyone shares. So again, for the sort of Christmas breakfast or festive breakfast, and also a shareable Dutch baby pancake, which was actually made savory instead of sweet. So with smoked salmon, lots of herbs. So for your brunch, essentially. So definitely we're seeing this vibe, people really wanting to make an effort, make things look nice, but also make things fun. You know, sharing a dish and having it in an extra large version is just fun, isn't it?
I can see why the panettone might be so popular in that respect, because you can get these really lovely giant ones and I guess you all just tear into it. There's something very lovely about that. And again, I don't feel like it would be the festive season without, whether it's low alcohol, no alcohol or alcohol, drinks that are a bit more special than your average drink that you might have. So I just wondered, what are the alternatives at the moment for the low and no alcohol brigade? Are there some particular flavours that you're seeing coming through?
We're really continuing to see more sophisticated flavours for low and no coming through, which are really elevating and premiumising these drinks. So bitter and spicy flavours are ones that we forecast, as these elements lend the sophistication, but also some depth to the drinks. So innovators are using traditional bitters and non-alcoholic botanical infusions, and also coffee and tea profiles to add bitterness to drinks. So there are brands like All the Bitters, whose functional bitters have 2 to 3 times more raw botanical than traditional alcohol versions, really coming into play. And they can be added to drinks at home to really elevate those low and no holiday drinks.
And I know that tea is really coming into its own. I'm a massive tea drinker, but not anything very exciting, just my average cuppa, but it powers me through the day. But tea, I've seen you've written some great things on really, really quite exciting teas. And I wondered if that's something that would appeal even more for Lunar New Year.
Yeah, definitely. We're seeing a lot of tea exploration from different varieties to different drinking occasions. So for Lunar New Year especially, we're seeing tea in alcoholic drinks such as tea tails, which is a nice phrase. Yeah.
Love a new word.
I saw a lovely one from Dimension Bar in Taiwan, which paired oolong with passion fruit and elderflower and cognac. So it's adding a hint of umami to those fragrant flavours. And then also in the non-alcoholic cocktails, sparkling apple and yuzu ginger matcha cocktail, just really adding that sophistication to those drinks.
I'm a bit of a cocktail fan and I wonder what I should be drinking. It's hard for me to move away from the margarita, but Jen, what could I do with that to maybe make it feel festive?
I'm glad you asked that, Bethan, because, you know, I'm a fan also of a margarita. So what I am planning to do this festive season is what I like to call a Christmas tree margarita, which is a classic margarita, but with a dash of pine. So you can create a pine syrup, essentially, to pop in your margarita to give it that festive flavour. So I'm looking forward to that this year.
Can you just tell me how you do that? Because that, like, you say that and I'm like, oh, I'll try that. But how on earth do you make a pine syrup?
Infuse pine with some sugar syrup, essentially. So it takes a little bit of time, but it's really simple. I'm pretty sure you could probably buy one if you didn't want to do it at home. But yeah, you can infuse it at home.
Oh, I love that idea. Brilliant. And then what about the crazy garnishes? Because I have been seeing that obviously on social media. People, you know, we've got ombre drinks, we've got all sorts of things happening. What's happening there for the festive season, Millie?
Yeah, so we've seen a big push in really elevating the visual aspect of cocktails. So mini snacks and statement rims and small sweet or savoury snacks perched on the glass really adds some theatre at Christmas time. So the Roma cocktail at the Carnival Bar in Peru comes topped with a little sugar dusted mini Italian pastry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just delicious. Or you could do something savoury that's a bit more substantial than an olive, maybe a little blini with some smoked salmon and creme fraiche on it. So anything that's just kind of elevates that cocktail a little bit further.
Yeah, okay. Combo of, is there anything too big to go on the side of a drink? I'm suddenly thinking. I'm thinking of like, you could have like chocolate things, like a little slice of Mars bar on the side or something.
I think you can, yeah.
You've got me thinking now.
Just go for it. I've seen, you know.
Anything that wedges on the edge of the glass.
Wedges, or you can have little mini pegs to peg things on these days. I think it's really exciting. I saw someone on social media create Christmas tree snow globes, which I will send you the link if you haven't seen it. It looks amazing. Have you seen it? It looks amazing. So it's basically a piece of rosemary, which you turn upside down to look like a Christmas tree, pop it in a glass with some water and freeze it. So it freezes in there. And then you add in like a gin and tonic or something, which is clear. And then with all the bubbles around the ice, it looks like a snow globe.
Yeah, I mean, with sort of not going out so much, I really feel like people this year really will want to kind of create amazing tablescapes and incredible food. It's quite exciting, actually. Always those limitations that make you get more creative. I have to ask you both, because you are our foodie experts, what amazing foodie gifts have you seen out there? And what do you have on your wish list, Jen?
If I was in the US, I would have this on my wish list. Sadly, they do not deliver into the UK, but there's a brand that we love called Acid League, which is, they're really reimagining vinegars. So they've got lots of kind of different vinegars for which you can put on all kinds of dishes, but also drinks as well. So for this holiday season, they've created a series of mystery boxes where you get a selection of their most premium products, some never before seen exclusive products, also some collaborations and even some sort of merchandise. So it's a real status booster type pantry item, but I just think really fun and really exciting that you don't quite know what you're going to get in the box, but you still know that it will be delicious and you'll be able to use it on lots of things.
That really speaks to that kind of need for joy, doesn't it? Having a bit of a delightful surprise.
Totally.
Millie, what about you?
So I went to Japan earlier in the year and it was 2 weeks of just eating. There were a couple of nights where we had dinner and then on the way home, we were seeing another restaurant we liked the look of. So we stopped and had a second dinner. And I'm really, really missing the Japanese food. And I've seen this Boxu snack gift box, which you can do as a subscription for a year or 3 months, or just get a one-off box. And it's full of sweet, savory snacks and Japanese teas. And that would be right up my street.
Taste of Japan coming to your door. I've just heard about, on my morning dog walk, about Noops. Noops or nut?
Noops, like, hot chocolate.
Yes, hot chocolate. So I'm literally going to look up that, because I'm always searching for that really thick, lovely hot chocolate that you get places on the continent.
Nice.
So that's what I'll be looking for. Thank you both. You've made me feel very festive. I wasn't feeling that festive because I haven't got a tree this year, but now I am feeling much more in the mood and I'm going to go and find some rosemary.
I will send you the link, Bethan.
Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to my guests today, Jen and Millie. That's it for this episode. If you're a WGSN subscriber, you'll find forecasts around this topic on our food and drink platforms. And if you want to find out how to subscribe, head over to WGSN.com to discover how you can get access to our service. We're constantly publishing new content focusing on how we can design a brighter, better future for our industries. And these include food and drink, interiors, beauty, fashion, and consumer tech. We'll be back in 2 weeks for our next episode, but in the meantime, you can catch the CEO of WGSN, Carly Buzashi, next week on our other podcast, Lives of Tomorrow, for an end-of-year special.